from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, welcome to Verve Online. Verve is all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor of Verve, and I am excited you're here. If you haven't yet, man, say hi in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from. We'd love to say hi to you. And listen, I may not know you. I certainly don't know everything about you, but I do know something. You don't like losing. Am I right? Yeah. You know who likes losing? No one. No one likes losing. Losing feels like it doesn't feel good. You know what's better than losing? Winning. Winning is better than losing. But too often we feel like we're losing, don't we? Something goes wrong, we lose, then we lose again. It's like, newsflash,
I'm a loser.
Yep.
Still a loser.
Still a loser. And it's like, why? Why? Because, well, when it comes to me.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
I feel like an idiot and a loser. And we want something better, right? Especially after last year. It feels like 2020 was a losing year, a lost year. We want something better. We want to change. And it's the perfect time for that, right? January. It's a new year, which is a time when we have a renewed hope that we can change. Things can be different. The rest of the year, maybe, but not as much, right? In September, you step on the scale and it's like, and so you decide to start a diet in September and you're on it, you're doing it. But then Halloween comes and your stupid kids have bags of stupid candy laying around the house. But then you're back on your diet. But then stupid Thanksgiving with its stupid pies, ugh. But you're like, that's it, diet starts now. You're back on the diet. But then stupid Christmas with its stupid Christmas cookies. And that's why I love January, right? It's new, there's this sense that you can do this. Exercise, yes. I can exercise. I'm going to the gym. Wait, where's the gym again? Is there a gym? There's still gyms. There must be a gym. I will find the gym and I will work out. But even with January, and we set our New Year's resolutions and we're gonna do it, but then it fades, right? The excitement, the consistency, the success, it fades, and we feel like we're losing again, and we don't like losing. So, how do we stop losing? Today, we're continuing our brand new series, This Is My Year, and we're learning how to win and make this year great. This is for people who feel like they are not living the life they want to live. For people who long for more, but have been settling for less. For people who just need to make a change. And we're learning how to make needed changes that last. How to win. We talked about this last week, about defining our win. Specifically, what is one thing you would really like to accomplish this year? And we started last week getting really practical on how to actually accomplish our goal. Today, we're going to try to understand why we feel like we're losing and how to stop losing. So in this series, we'll be learning from some of today's best experts, but the main person we're going to learn from is a guy in the Bible named Paul. Paul was Jewish, and when Christianity starts up, he is violently opposed to it. But then he has this incredible encounter with Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead. And Paul goes from a Christian killer to a Christian. He starts sharing Jesus, and he's traveling around on mission trips, and he's starting churches. Inspired by God, he writes about a third of the New Testament. In fact, his writings have shaped our world's culture for 2,000 years. So, he's just this amazing, impressive follower of Jesus. And in a letter to the Christians in Rome, he writes about how he felt like he was losing and wanted to change, but the changes didn't last, and he'd feel like he was losing again. Paul, this incredible guy, wrote that. Check this out. It's written in a book of the Bible called Romans. It's in chapter 7, starting in verse 15 through verse 24. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Now, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Wow. Paul wrote a long time ago, and he writes very theologically, but what he wrote to the Romans, he could write to us, and we can all relate to it, because we've all experienced what he's saying, though we wouldn't say it the way he says it. In fact, I thought it might help us if I kind of wrote a paraphrase of what Paul wrote. So I rewrote those verses for us today, more the way we might say it today. So instead of Romans 7, 15 through 24, we could call this Vervians 7, 15 through 24, and it goes like this. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. I tell myself not to yell at my kids, then I hear someone yelling at my kids, and I realize it's me. There's something wrong inside of me that leads me to do what I don't want to do. I tell myself, whatever happens, I will not deviate from my diet. I promise I will not make any exceptions. Then I find a piece of pizza in my mouth. What a miserable person I am. I am a slave to pizza. As I try to understand this power that makes me a slave to pizza, I suddenly have a realization. I am now eating brownies. I am a slave to pizza and brownies. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do right, there's always something wrong for me to look at on the internet. I don't want to look, but there's something in me that does it anyway. When I'm about to tell my wife that she's just like her mother, I know what I'm about to do is wrong. That's why I decide to not tell my wife that she's just like her mother. Then I find my mouth opening and words coming out. The words sound like, you are just like your mother. It is sin living in me that does that. Who will free me from this life dominated by the dumb things I keep doing? One thing I know for sure, it's not gonna be me. Right? Man, we can all relate to what Paul's saying, because he's saying that he's dying inside. He is stuck, and he hasn't been able to get unstuck. Paul wants to do what God wants, But he is stuck in these patterns of sin, wrong thinking, bad habits, addictive behavior, and he has tried and he has tried, but nothing has worked. He is losing, and he feels like he keeps losing. So why was he losing? Why do we lose? Why do we struggle to win, to make changes that last? Well, last week we saw that it's because we focus on what we do instead of who we are. If you missed that, you can go back, you can watch, you can listen to it. But here is a second reason. Because we rely on willpower instead of God's power. We lose because we rely on willpower instead of God's power. It's because I think I can. Because I think I can, but I can't. We see that with Paul, right? He says, I tried. Like, I have tried with everything I have. I thought I could, but I can't. And I've seen that with me. Like, I really want to do good. I want to make this change. I want to achieve this goal. And so I try, and I get motivated, and I think I can, but I can't. And you've seen it with you, right? You want to change in some way. You want to win in some area. You've been losing, and so you try, and you might make some progress. But then you end up in the same place you were. Why? Because me is what got me here. And when I rely on me, here is where I always end up. Me doesn't have the power to get me anywhere else. But we try. We try with willpower. We set goals, and we make promises, and then we grit our teeth, and we give it our all. We really want to. And at first, we may find ourselves winning. But then, man, like, we face overwhelming desires to do the wrong thing, to do that same old thing. And we were winning, but now our willpower is weakening. And then it gives out. We fail, and then there's guilt, and then there's shame. We didn't just fail, right? We feel like a failure. And so why bother? And we throw up our hands, and we quit, and we lost again. Ugh. It's exactly what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. So, what do we do? Look at the answer Paul found. Remember, he just wrote, we read up to verse 24. He said, who will save me? Who can rescue me? Here is the very next verse, Romans 7, 25. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul learned, I can't get myself unstuck. And so I need a power that I don't possess. And the power he found was Jesus. Paul discovered, I can't, God can. And I will just say, I've discovered the same thing. The things that I've been able to do that I just wasn't able to do were all because I finally realized that I couldn't, not in my power. And so I learned how to turn to God and access his power. And the good news is that the same power that was available that helped Paul is available to you. The same power that helped me is available to you. Actually, I'm going to say it in a bigger way because it's more accurate. You ready? The power that got Jesus out of a grave, resurrected from death to life, is available to you. I want to show you something that Paul wrote in another letter in the Bible. It's in a book called Ephesians. Ephesians was written by Paul to the church in the town of Ephesus. It was a church he had started, so he's kind of sharing his heart with his friends, and he starts by telling them what he's been praying for them, and that's where we're going to pick it up in verse 19 of chapter 1. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Paul's saying, listen, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is available to you. It is an incredibly great power, and you can have it at work in your life. So, if you've been losing, if you feel dead in some area of your life, you don't need to stay dead, because God has resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is a power that can do whatever you need it to do, and it's actually available to you. That's the power you need to win, to achieve your goal. So, now we need to learn how to access that power and how to live in it. So let's look at one more thing Paul wrote about this. This is in his letter to the Galatians church. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So Paul writes here about the Spirit. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's God in us. So when you give yourself to God, he gives himself to you. He literally moves inside of you to empower you. Paul also writes in these verses about the flesh. The flesh refers to our natural, selfish, sinful selves. He's saying, you know, that part of you that it wants to lead you in a way that you don't want to go, in a way that God doesn't want you to go. It's that part of you that's still in you, even though you gave yourself to God and he gave himself to you, it's still in you. It's that part of you that explains why you keep doing what you don't want to do, right? Why it's like, I don't want to keep worrying. I don't want to keep looking at that website. I don't want to keep being critical, feeling jealous, overspending. I don't want to keep eating entire trays of Oreos. But then you do. I do. Why is that? That's what the Bible calls your flesh. We do what we don't want to do. And then we swear we won't do it again, and we try, but it doesn't last because our willpower runs out. And that's why Paul's advice is not willpower, it's God's power, right? He says in Galatians 5:16, again, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, it's the Spirit's power, not your power. So the Greek word that he wrote that we have translated into English as walk is the word peripatio. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I can't spell it, but peripatio. And what's interesting is it's a present tense verb, which means it's something you keep doing. You don't stop doing. Walking by the Spirit means living in God's power, not my willpower. How do you do that? How do you walk by the Spirit? You know, like in that moment, you know, when you are tempted, you're tempted to worry again, to look again, to not exercise again, to not read the Bible again, to yell at your kid again. How do you rely in that moment, not on willpower, but on God's power? How in that moment do you walk in the Spirit? We're going to learn together. Ready? So a lot of it happens before that moment. Not in that moment. I want to give you two R words for what needs to happen in our lives before the moment comes so that we can be in God's power, not willpower, and walk in the Spirit in that moment, okay? The two words are renew and remain. To walk in the Spirit in God's power, I need to renew my mind. This is what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's saying, if you want transformation, change, to go from losing to winning, it happens by renewing your mind. When we change the way we think, we'll change the way we respond, the way we act. But we talked about this last week. Your identity drives your behavior. You do what you do because of what you think of you. And you need to think truth. You need to know the truth about yourself. That happens. You change your thinking. You renew your mind by reading the Bible and memorizing Bible verses and listening to Bible teaching, which you're doing right now. Look at you go. You're doing awesome. Listen, if you do that, if you renew your mind before that moment, then you're going to be ready with God's power in that moment. Okay, so first, we need to renew our minds with God's truth. Second, to walk in the Spirit, in God's power, in that moment, before the moment, I need to remain. I need to renew my mind, and I need to remain. Jesus said in John 15, he said, remain in me as I also remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, remain in me. When you do, God's power will be unleashed in your life. You will be fruitful. You'll be able to live the life you're supposed to live. Cool. But what does it mean to remain? It literally means to live inside of. Jesus is saying, hey, if you live inside of me and let me live inside of you, this will happen. So he's talking about this a closeness and an intimacy that comes through prayer, through being silent and just being in his presence, through saying yes to him, whatever he's asking, like you're living in obedience. Listen, if you do that before that moment comes, you will be ready with God's power in that moment. So our question was, how do you walk by the Spirit? How do you live in God's power, not willpower? So in that moment of temptation or opportunity, man, you are plugged into God's power and not relying on your willpower. Two R words for what needs to happen in your life before the moment: renew and remain. And then real quick, here's two A words for what needs to happen in the moment. When that moment comes, acknowledge and ask. But when the moment comes, you acknowledge that you don't have the power you need. Like we saw Paul said, he said, I want to do what is right, but I can't. Like Jesus said to us, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we acknowledge when that moment comes, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. In the moment, acknowledge and ask. Ask God to give you his power, to help you do what you need to do, trusting that he loves you and he loves to help you. He loves to make his power available to you. Man, you do that. You renew and remain before that moment comes. And then in that moment, you acknowledge, God, I can't do this. And you ask, God, help me in that moment. And you will find that you have power you don't possess, that you are walking by the Spirit, that you're taking steps, not in your power, but in God's power. So you do it. You do it. You take a step, right? In the spirit of faith, you take a step and then you take another step and you're walking in God's power. Might you trip up? Might you fall down? Sure, of course. What do you do? What do you do when you fall? You get back up, right? You get back up and you keep walking. You're new at this. You're gonna fall. Falling isn't failure, right? You're learning. That's okay. You're growing. It's like a baby learning to walk, gets up for the first time, right? Takes a step or two and everyone cheers. Look, a baby's walking. If it falls, no one says, well, turns out baby's a failure. Baby can't walk, loser. No, right? It's a baby. You help the baby get up and baby keeps walking. And Paul says, keep walking by the Spirit, not in your power, in God's power. If you fall down, get back up. Keep walking in the Spirit, not in your power, in God's power. And you'll find that you are walking out of your past and into your future. You're walking out of losing and into winning. When I say you, I just want to be clear. I mean you. You who could never do it before. You will be doing it, but it won't be you. It'll be him through you, because you can't, but he can. Let's pray and ask him to together right now. Let's pray. God, like Paul, who is an incredible hero of our faith, but even Paul said, I can't do what I want to do in my own power, and so I need Jesus to save me. God, we can't do what we want to do. We've all experienced that, but you can. So God, might we today decide, I am going to stop living in my power. Instead of willpower, God, I'm going to use your power. And so I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to regularly be having your word, reading the Bible, listening to Bible teaching. I'm going to have your word renewing my mind, and I'm going to remain in you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in your presence. And then when that moment comes, man, I'm going to acknowledge I can't do this, and I'm going to ask, God, help me to do this. And we will be walking in the Spirit, and God, you will take us to good places, because you're a good God. Thank you for being a good God who loves us so much. We pray all this in your name. Amen.